And thank you, Picker. I like hearing that song first thing here on Sunday morning. And good Easter morning to all you listeners out there. My name is R.T. Lowe, and you're listening to For Your Information here on Cox Radio. For Your Information is a public affairs program, and we try to have something of interest to the community. And this Sunday, being Easter, I thought we would speak with one of our local respected pastors in the area here in Cleveland and talk a little bit about Easter and what it is and how it relates to all of us today. And his name is Pastor Carl Williamson. And how are you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing great today. It's a good day.
It is a good day. I guess the first thing, would you mind introducing yourself to the folks that may not know you?
Okay, I'm Carl Williamson. I've been the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here for the last 19 years. Texas boy, grew up in Texas, and been a pastor now since 1980, so got a few years' experience behind me.
And except for maybe three people that are hidden in the back, they don't know you because you're very... You work with everybody in the community on a number of different things, and we want to tell you thanks for that.
Well, I appreciate that. I enjoy it. This is my home, and I want to be a service to the people I'm around every day.
If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about your church, Calvary Baptist Church.
Calvary Baptist Church, we're over on Cold Spring Highway, if you're from this area. Most people kind of laugh. I say we're behind Buffalo, too. But we're one block off 59. We're a Southern Baptist church. Church has been here since 1947. We run between probably around 3:50 on Sunday mornings as our worship attendance. And just a great group of just people that love the Lord and just enjoy the fellowship and enjoy worshiping together.
And, of course, Calvary Baptist is well-known and respected in the community. I guess... For those old-timers around here, the first thing we still think of is the Old Stone Church.
The Old Stone, I hear that all the time. That's everybody's memory of Calvary from back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
It was a beautiful church, but the problem with the things of that era, they don't last. All the infrastructure, the rocks work great. It's everything else that kind of falls apart, right?
And that's exactly what happened to us, and we had this enemy creep in on us called black mold that finally determined that we had to just demolish those buildings.
And, of course, you've got a beautiful building now. As you say, you have a number of people that attend, and we appreciate the community, appreciate your service here. I guess... The easiest way to get into this talking about Easter, it's so many things to so many different people. One of the first things I will always hear is, what day is Easter on this year, and how come it's on so many different days? So you want to start out with that?
Sure. Well, you know, everybody's familiar with the Christmas is December 25th every year. So why is Easter not a day in March or a day in April? It went back to... years and years ago that there were some leaders and they always wanted the Easter to kind of be with the idea of new life. And so part of it was that it has to do with the moon phase and with the coming in, the issuing in of springtime, things like that. So Easter always follows, I think it's the first Sunday after the first full moon of spring.
And so that, folks, is the way you remember it.
That's how you can usually track it.
And they call it, this year, they call it the pink moon.
It is. And there's a lot that goes into that. I wish I could say it was all great Christian thought and everything. Sometimes there was a lot of influences that made that come about. But we just observe that, and we celebrate just following those traditions.
And, of course, Easter, the story of Easter has a lot to do with the Jewish faith because of the time that it occurred in their calendar.
It is, and it has to do, it's tied together with the Jewish faith with about Passover. And Passover had to do with whenever God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and the Passover had to do with that the children of Israel marked their doorposts with blood, and the death angel passed over those households. And took the life of the oldest child in each of the other households. And so that was the final thing that God did to say, this is how I'm going to convince Pharaoh to let my people go. And so the Passover, they, and the Jewish people to this day still celebrate that. That's a great celebration for them.
And the interesting, you know, people, if they've studied the way it goes, that blood is brought anew with the new covenant, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
If you don't mind, would you mind telling us the, and let me refresh real quick everybody's mind. This is speaking with Pastor Carl Williamson here, and he's with Calvary Baptist Church. If you don't mind, would you kind of tell us the story of Easter and what led up to why Sunday is such a special day for Christianity?
Sure. Well, the week preceding Easter is usually called the Passion Week, and there's several different denominations that honor it and celebrate it in different ways. But what it's doing is Jesus is concluding the end of his earthly ministry, and he feels like that God is calling him to be the sacrifice that would pay for all mankind's sin for all time, and that we could call upon that name and find salvation. Well, in doing that, he traveled to Jerusalem knowing that this was what was ahead of him. And when he got there, and there's the Last Supper during the Passion Week, that they observed that, that they sit down with his disciples, and he gave the loaf and the wine, and he commissioned them and told them, he said, every time you take of this, you remember me. Now, you got to keep in mind, they hadn't seen what was going to happen yet. But he told them, this is my body, which is broken for you, and this blood that you're, this cup is to represents the blood of the new covenant of what God's going to do because of his grace and love for us. And so he celebrated that with his disciples. And then later, Jesus was out in the garden praying because he knew this terrible event was about to take place, his crucifixion, and they came and arrested him. And they put him on a public trial, and all that worked out, there was those who were just determined to get him out of the way. They didn't like the message that he was teaching because it was so contrary to what their traditions had been. So there was a cry out to crucify him. And the Roman governor of that time tried every way he could to get around it, but just couldn't. And the people had such a passion, they kept crying out for it, that they took Jesus and they crucified him. They scourged him, and they beat him, or they whipped him. And then they took him to Calvary's Hill and nailed his hands and feet to a cross and crucified him. And there he died. And one of the great statements that he made was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said mankind didn't even realize how important this moment is. And he gave up his life. Well, that's not the end of the story. The best part is yet to come. After 3 days in the tomb, some people went to check on him. They wanted them to anoint him. They didn't have a chance to take care of and give him proper preparation for the grave. So they went there. Well, when they arrived, on what we celebrate as Easter morning, the grave was empty, that he had resurrected from the grave. And our faith has us believe this, and in that he conquered death, that death has no fear for any believer in Jesus Christ. On the cross, he conquered sin. He paid for all sin for all time. But when he resurrected from the grave, he conquered death. And so that's one confidence I have, that when I draw my last breath, that's not over for me, that's the beginning of a new life, and that what he promised was eternal life. And so that's why this Easter is so special to us, is that we celebrate that he conquered what we, most of us, fear the most, and that was death.
And the story, you know, you if you think the whole thing through, you know, it's really a sweet story and a sad story and an uplifting story all at the same time. It's can carry you through so many different emotional feelings. When you were mentioning the prayer in the garden, you know, one of the things I think most of us have the great difficulty with is understanding, well, if he was God, then why was he afraid of death, and or why did it concern him? And you know, it's the same thing with us as Christians. We don't want to die either.
Oh, that's true. true. And I think for him, one of the things of concern, not only was he God's son, but he was also human being. He felt pain. He knew the agony. And he already knew what was ahead. He had probably seen somebody crucified. He had probably, you know, heard the stories of the agony. And he'd be like you and I, anticipating something. But his last statement, one of his last statements there, he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." He totally surrendered himself to the Father's will to say, "Hey, you're going to pay. You're going to pay the price." And that's what he did on that day. He just surrendered his life and literally surrendered his life and said, this is a payment for all men's sins.
And as you were speaking earlier, you talked about the Passover, then the blood of the lamb on the door. The angel of death saw that and passed over that house. In a roundabout way, or maybe not so much, that blood, he became the perfect lamb to cover Saul, right?
That's exactly right. And just like the death angel passed over those households, death has no fear for the Christian because death can't keep us. It couldn't keep him in the grave, and it can't keep us. And that's one thing that we get so excited about. And I think sometimes that one of the traps that Christians get into is that we say, well, the best we're ever going to have is right here and now. And the truth is, the best is what God has waiting for us in heaven. And so his death gives us assurance that we get to go inherit what he has prepared for us.
As Christians get ready to celebrate the resurrection, and that's the great thing about Easter Sunday, of course, is he had to die, so the death is important, but the great part is the resurrection. What kind of thoughts do you think Christians need to have in their minds here on Easter Sunday morning?
I think on Sunday morning, it's a sign of for a Christian of real faith that has an abiding faith in Jesus Christ. There ought to be just this humility that I didn't deserve this, that God did this out of His great love for me, and so I come and worship Him because He gave me what I deserve the least. Thank goodness for you and I, we didn't get what we deserved in this life because I deserved the worst. But He said, "I'm going to give you my best." And I think there's also that we lose it sometime at church, is that it really is a celebration day, that this is our victory. This is what it's all about. And I grew up in a time in church whenever that you went to church and you didn't move and you didn't talk and you didn't look around and you sat real still. And I think, man, how can you go and be so excited about something and be so still? I can't be quiet at a football game or something. Why should I have to be quiet whenever I'm talking about the greatest thing that ever happened, the greatest expression of love? Now, I do think that there's some respect, and maybe there's some things that where I would say to honor him, I'm not just going to get totally out of control, but I do think that really we ought to be celebrating, that we ought to be joyous and happy about this event. And sometimes I think we miss that, and that kind of makes me sad.
Yeah, we sometimes get so involved in the pageantry, isn't the word, day-to-day activities of church, that we think more of it as a place to be quiet and still, and it does serve that purpose too, but at other times it is I can't remember the verse, but it's something about there's a time to dance and a time to sing.
That's Ecclesiastes. A time to laugh and a time to weep. There's a time for everything. And what we do at Calvary on the Sunday before Easter, we as a church body observe the Lord's Supper, where that we did what he did with that Last Supper with his disciples. And it's a pretty solemn service because we're remembering what great price God was willing to pay for us. And then on Easter Sunday morning, we try to celebrate. We try to say, "Hey, thank you, Lord, that you did such a magnificent, loving thing for us."
And we are speaking with Pastor Carl Williamson, and he is the pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Cleveland. And being Easter Sunday, we're speaking a little bit about Easter and Christianity and the reason Easter marks Christianity because without this day, the rest of it doesn't follow in. In the Christian faith, we have Christmas as, of course, a day of joy and Thanksgiving. But like you said, Easter is joy and Thanksgiving too. How should we celebrate Easter?
I think that there's a couple of things. I think that the psalmist wrote, "Come into his presence with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise." I think that on Easter Sunday morning, you come in very, very thankful that God loved me enough to send his one and only Son. John 3:16 is a perfect example of that. And that we come in with such thankful hearts that we're, our focus is on him. I think too many times in church we want to say it's all about us when really it's all about him. And then praise, out of that thankfulness, sometimes praise is a word that gets misused or abused, but that's just adoration coming out of your life, coming out of your voice, coming out of your feelings, just adoration for what he's done for us, that he's done so much. And no one, I think that to whom much has been forgiven, there ought to be great celebration. And so for so many of us, it ought to be that day that, wow, Lord, thank you, that I just can't stand here but do anything but praise you and honor you. And it's always interesting that, I hate to say it, but for some people, that's their one day a year at church. But that does say something about that people still do respect and honor that day.
Yes, and of course, the first thing that pops into most of our minds, especially those of us that were raised in the church, is what are called sunrise services. Mm-hmm. Will Calvary have those?
We're not having a sunrise service. For years, the Cleveland Minister Alliance, all the churches in town did one, and I really can't tell you the reason why we quit. What we've done this past week before Easter was we did a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, we did a portrayal. We did on our front lawn, we did a reenactment of the crucifixion and placing in the tomb and then the resurrection, just a visible deal for people to see. I like to see things. And I think for people to kind of get that and to just be able to watch it and just kind of let that sink into their hearts and their minds about that's what happened, that goes such a great length. We talked today, several of those pastors, about it in the future, that maybe again next year, that as a community, we'd do a community sunrise service again.
I think those services are always good for the community. Things that can draw the community back together.
Sure. One of the things I'm proud to say in Cleveland is I've been in communities where it wasn't true, but here our pastors are really good about working together, that we cooperate. It's not a sense of competition that it's my church against your church. It's how that we can, first of all, proclaim the love of God in our community and share Jesus Christ, but how that we can bind together in Christian brotherhood and accomplish things in his name.
Yeah, that's one of the things that kind of confuse some people. Why are there so many different churches of denomination? And for that matter, especially in the South, there are Baptist churches of every description you can think of out there. But it's actually pretty a simple thing. We're people, right?
That's it. And I told somebody the other day, I said, I think maybe the good Lord may hold us accountable one of these days. I said, the only reason this church exists is because the people in this church couldn't get along with that church. and may not be very good motives. But I would just say we really have some good churches in Cleveland. We have some really outstanding pastors in this town that are serving. And so it's a pleasure to serve here with those guys.
I always tell folks that if you read your New Testament and pay attention, you'll see this isn't a new problem a new situation. Even among the disciples, the 12 apostles, they didn't always get along.
You're right, and then there was great disagreements. As a matter of fact, that's why deacons came into being, because there was a kind of a rife in the church about some people were being ignored, and so they ordained deacons to meet that need.
Sometimes I can see, in my mind, I can see God sitting there and shaking his head, going, man, It's a good thing they're so lovable, or something along that effect, because we will not do the best all the time.
And just thank goodness he's so forgiving.
Amen.
You know, he's a God of patience. And I tell people, I try to emphasize this, and especially around Easter time when people who aren't there real frequently, I said, you've not done anything that ever made God quit loving you. I said, no matter where you've been, what you've done, there's a God in heaven that still loves you. That if you look at the story of the prodigal son, that looked like he wasted his father's living, his father's money, his everything. And when he came back home, the father rushed out to greet him. He was waiting for him. And that God loves us so much that no matter where we've been, when we make a step towards him, he's rushing to us.
Well, Pastor Carl Williamson is our guest today, and he is with Calvary Baptist Church in Cleveland. For those that may be interested in, and I hate to put you on the spot, but interested in reading the story and where what we've been talking about comes from, can you give folks kind of a general outline of where they can find it in the Bible?
I would say one of my favorite accounts is found in the book of Luke. And you read several chapters there, and it's not just one verse. I would probably say that you start probably back as early as chapter 22, and that's where it begins with Judas betrays Jesus, and then the Last Supper, and then his trial, and you go to the conclusion of the book. There'll be several chapters there. Chapter 22 through chapter 24 is three chapters that it encapsulates that whole story, and Luke does a real good job of pointing out things and being very descriptive as he writes that.
Well, I know for myself it's always helpful to go back and read it. It doesn't matter how well you think you know the story, you can always find something different, and it's something else to learn. At least it seems that way to me.
Well, I'm 63 years old, and I've been studying the Bible. I grew up in a very, very devout Christian home, so Bible's been a part of my life, and I still find things fresh and new every time I read it. I never get everything under control or understood that God says, let me show you something different, and that's why it's always a joy for me to read it. So what new thing is he going to uncover for me?
And there's always something that he can uncover, because we'll never know everything.
That's true. Of course, I've met a few people who do think they know everything.
oh yes. Well, I've been guilty of that from time to time myself. And what usually happens is something makes me look really dumb shortly thereafter. And after 60-some-odd years, I'm beginning to learn, maybe I don't know so much.
Maybe I didn't know as much as I thought I did.
Yeah, maybe so. You know, one of the things that about when Christians meet, they usually break the communion with a prayer. And if you don't mind, we'll let you lead us here at the end of the show.
Okay. You ready to do that right now?
If you don't mind.
Okay, I'll be glad to. Father, what a great day it is to celebrate Easter. And Lord, this time of year we think about new life. And thank you for the new life that Jesus Christ makes possible for us, taking all of our sins, taking all of our past, and, Lord, forgiving it. He didn't okay it. He just said, I cover it. And then challenges us to follow him. Lord, would we find ourselves following you day by day because of the new life that you offer, the new opportunities you give us. So I pray for our community. I pray for the churches. I pray for the Christians. And, Lord, for those who will be worshiping today, Lord, that it be a special day in their lives. And, Lord, they would give you the praise that you deserve. So, Lord, would this be a great day for all of our churches in the area? Would it be a day we'd be overflowing, and would your love be poured out in such a special way? So equip our pastors, equip our churches, Lord. Would we do whatever it takes to glorify you? And, Lord, I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. My name is R.T. Lowe, and I'm the host of Gateway to Cleveland. And right now I need you to get out some paper and something to write with. You see, we do this program to help keep people in your part of Texas apprised of events in the community, but we need your help. This is for free nonprofit events, something of interest to the community, and we'd like to help share that information, but the only way I'm going to be able to do that is if you send it to us. Here's where that pen and paper come in handy. You'll send the information on your events to KTHT 416 Dunham Avenue. Okay, that's 416 Dunham, D-U-N-N-A-M Avenue in Cleveland, C-L-E-V-E-L-A-N-D, Texas, 77327. Or you can email me at kthtrtlow.com. kthtrtlow.com. If you didn't get that, don't worry. I'll repeat it. It'll just be a little bit later. We'll need to know who you are, how we can contact you, you know, a telephone number or such. And then most everything about the event itself. It should include who is staging or holding this event. Something about whoever it is. What the event is. A brief description of what's going on or whatever you'll have happen there. Why? Make sure to tell the folks why they should come and be involved with your event. When? They need to know when the event is, when it's going to take place. Where is the event going to take place? If it is out in the country a bit, you might want to make instructions from like the nearest town or such. Also, where folks should respond, where they can reach you. How? Don't forget contact information. If your nonprofit group or organization has a website or email, put that down. Or a phone number. It's who, what, why, when, where, and how. Those are the basics of every public announcement. There's one more important thing to keep in mind. It doesn't matter how well you write something up and how much information you get us. If you don't get it to me in time, it will never make the show. We need you to get that information to us at least 3 weeks before the event or deadline takes place. Remember, Gateway to Cleveland is not a live program. The program is usually recorded the week, even 2 weeks, before the actual Sunday airing. So you can see how 3 weeks lead time isn't much. Now, take into consideration some interviews run longer than others, and so there won't always be time for many basic information pieces at the end of every show. So the more lead time you give us, the greater number of times people will hear about your event. Once again, send information on your events to KTHT 416 Dunham Avenue. That's Dunham. D-U-N-N-A-M Avenue in Cleveland, C-L-E-V-E-L-A-N-D, Texas, 77327. Or email me at kthtrtlowe.com. Okay, thanks for tuning in to Gateway to Cleveland here on 97.1, your country legends, Cleveland, Houston. And pick her key up at Flat Top and take us on home.